My pastor said something to us. He said, okay, we should learn to be conservative. And then he also said something, but you know, don't get conservative when it comes to the moving of the Spirit. There's no conservatism there. Amen. Because while in Scripture, when you see the move of the Spirit, it's always wow. Amen. It's always wow. And as I said, you can't be, that is where the vital, right, is very important for a believer. No, I know that last time I was talking to us about theologians, right? Right? Why I, as a person, you must know. You know, there are people who go online to go and look for theologians to follow so that they can. No, you don't do that. Amen. A theologian, mostly what they do is to argue, to take a particular stand. I told us last week, Thursday, and I had a conversation with my friend just before I came up. And we're talking about theologians, right? He's a Yahuwah guy. So he told me about a theologian that took his stand in the UK recently on Yahusha, Yahuwah. You see, I'm breaking that in every day. I'm opening it. He said, the guy is a theologian, and then he became too, he took a particular stand, right? Right? On his Yahuwah, Yahusha stuff. And the guy was just talking and talking. So he was supporting my view about theologians and the fact that they don't really have the vital, right? Right. No, very fine. But God wants us. I also spoke to another pastor friend also. Why do we then teach the way we teach? You see, why not try to use the word balance, right? Right? It can take a different shape. Trying to balance it, no. I don't think you've ever heard me use that word balance before. But, you know, why would exact much precision in teaching, right? Precision, ensure that what we are interpreting is very right, right? We are not denying the power of we are not denying the power of God. So we are having the true experience. What are you following me? We're having the what? The true rich experience. Amen. These are experiences. So you should be careful. Like I said to you, my pastor will say to us, you are a pastor, right? A theologian does not look at the implication of words. You're a pastor, you should understand the implication of words. If you know you have people you are shepherding, right? People who are following you, who you are leading, you should be careful of the implication of words, what you say. A theologian doesn't care. Hallelujah. I told us how I saw someone that took a stand on the ecclesia and said we should stop at the word church, to call it church. And I've been in that divide before. Amen. Amen. The word church, but not on church. The word church is this, is that. The word church is not the true church that Jesus founded. It's not the true ecclesia that Jesus founded. What Jesus founded is ecclesia, not church. And I told the person, no. Amen. Because this thing you are starting, you don't know the end. The end will also draw back to Yahweh, I mean the name Jesus and the light. I know the end of this thing. Amen. Because I've been there. You know the God? It's not Yahweh. It's not Jesus. It's not supposed to be Jesus. I saw is this, is that. It's actually Yahusha, Yahuwah, Yahshua, Ashua. Come on. See, you call Ashua. Yahusha, Yahuwah. Come on. I've been there. So I said, you know what? Say the Greek is from Hebrew. Right? So let's go back to Hebrew. Abi? No. It's the case that Jesus founded. Stop. Which language? Jesus is a native of what? He's a native of Hebrew. Right? Glory to God. Amen? Amen? Okay, follow him. He's a native of Hebrew. So, for him to say Ecclesia, because he's reading the Hebrew Bible, he also has the Hebrew Bible. So, if you say Ecclesia, he's taking your mind back to where? The Quara. So, let's go back to Quara. Let's know that nobody is using Ecclesia. Adi? You say church is wrong. Let's just go back to the region. Amen. I just stand. And I told you a lot of people try to become my friend because of that position, which I also shared with those in, those, not women, was this women students or pastors? Was it women? Did you see that? Okay, it was women students. Did you see it? Okay, so it was the HCCB pastors. I said, oh, HCCB pastors, and then I wanted to become my friend, so I took my time to check their profile and saw their other stance on scripture interpretation. I just left that group. Because that's where you say these guys are hypocrites, because you have helped them to deal with somebody. They now want to be your friend. That's what they will do for you. So they are just hypocrites. So let me just withdraw myself from this caliber of let me not call them vipers. Yeah, let me just withdraw. I don't think I have that mercy to face those kind of things at this point. Let me face my congregation. Hallelujah. Amen. Every other congregation. So it's just very vital. So you must experience, we must have that rich experience. Hallelujah. So in the past three sections, we laid some foundations. So I'm not going to go back on them, right? We laid some foundation on the essence of scriptures, creation, right? What Moses was writing in Genesis 1 is not creation of matter, actually writing. He's answering, writing the oracles of God using known history, right? Writing the oracles of God using a known history and also answering questions in their world, right? That's what Moses is doing. He wasn't writing the creation of matter and the life. So we have that order settled, right? So let's get to Genesis 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We'll take some things again from here when we get to workers' convention tomorrow. Amen. So heavens and the earth. We saw verse 2, the earth without the heaven, what it is, it says darkness, empty and void, which will say darkness, empty and void is a state of confusion, a state of disorder. So it says heaven and earth in chapter 1 verse 1 of Genesis 1. Let's go to the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1 is to show God's order, what God is doing in the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we looked at what heaven is. Heaven is used for the immaterial, right? I'm trying to make sure I'm not skipping to last week. Okay, for the immaterial world, and it was not used for a distance outside the earth. We saw all that. Heaven is not used for a distance outside the earth. It's used for what is within the earth. Right? It's not a distant location, rather it's a location within the earth. Right? A location within the earth is not a distance, but a distinction. Distinction means it can be distinguished, right? But it's not like it's off the earth. You can distinguish it. Hallelujah. You can distinguish heaven in the earth, heaven from the earth, but heaven is within the earth. We saw that, all that. Right? Hallelujah. Now the earth is used for matter. We saw that. Earth is used for matter, it's used for land. Okay, I did show you that, but I'll show you that during believers' conversion. It's used for matter, it's used for land. And God's promise to Moses is that he will give them the land, the wide land. And I told Moses in Exodus chapter 3 that I am almighty. You see that? Told him he's almighty, he is the wide land. And then he told him about the promise of the wide land. You see that? Amen. So therefore, God becomes what he promised them. Hope you are following me. He promised them a wide land. He said, I'll give unto you the land of the Canaanites, right? Of the Canaanites, of the Jebusites, the Amorites. Now, when he mentions those nations, right, it means he talked about Canaanite, the Amorites, the Jebusites. He said, he'll give them the land. He now said, he'll give them the wide land. That is Exodus chapter number 3. Hallelujah. Get your hands on Exodus 3 quickly. Exodus 3 verse 8, it says, and I come, this is God, it says, and I am come down to deliver them out of the land of the Egyptians, right? And to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large, the word is large land, unto a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. Is that? Amen. Amen. So land that is wild, wide land, almighty. So God becomes for them, well, which he promised them. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what is God's promise to the children of Israel? A wild land. And he was referring to himself, right? Right? Himself, the land. He's walking all the earth. So we'll see all that as we get into convention and the light. Amen. Amen. So the earth is also used for man. Man, erect, used for man. So when you say heavens and earth, heaven and earth, we say there will be God's order. We said that God's dream earth. God's dream earth is not the earth without the heaven. God's dream earth is the earth and the heaven in the same place. Right? God's dream world. God's dream world is the earth to be in his heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said, heaven and earth was written by Moses as a symbol. Right? Now listen. To point to what God is doing in their world. Right? So Moses uses heaven and earth, right? Right? Figuratively, that's why he used the word symbol, he used it figuratively to talk about what God is doing in them, or what God is doing, God's plan in the earth. Hallelujah. He used it to talk about God's plan in the earth, and also to talk about a reality of their world. He's writing to people who just left East Egypt about the oracles of God, and he's writing about the reality of that is with them. Hallelujah. Heaven and earth. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Glory to God. A reality. So, when you talk about God's plan through them. So don't think Moses is writing about God's plan in the future. No, God's plan through them, and it's still God's plan today. Hope you're following me. Amen. God's plan that will happen through them, and by extension to us today. That's God's plan. The heavens in all the earth. Hallelujah. So for Israel, how would they minister? Because since this is God's plan. We said that last week. He said it's by taking over territories, subduing territories. Amen. Subduing territories. So warfare in their world, as I said to us, warfare in their world is used, or warfare in their world is a clash of gods. It's a clash of gods. So when you conquer a land, right? When you conquer a land, you take over the people. You take over the people, and they become yours. You take over the people, and they become yours. How would they become yours? For Israel, Moses gave them a command that for those who are not Israel to become Israel, those are people we call the proselytes. For them to become Israel, they will have to be circumcised. Did you see that? Amen. So that circumcision means they are now Israel, though they were not born Israelite, right? Now, that is where you now get the word adopted. Did you see that? Amen. They're now adopted as Israelites. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. They're adopted as Israelites. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. They're adopted as Israelites. They're not Israel. Now, listen and listen well. That means they can now serve the God of Israel. Did you see that? Amen. So as they're taking over land, they are becoming circumcised and are serving the God of Israel. Now that is God's plan for them. So they will subdue and replenish. Replenish with what? This kind, right? God and man in the same place. Heaven and earth. This is that God, man in God's image. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. To replenish. So Israel had that task, and they will do it by conquering kings. So when they conquer kingdoms, those guys convert to becoming Israelites. What will they have next given to them? They will be taught the oracles of God. What are you following me? What are you following me? They've seen the wonders of God. They believe in the God of God. Because they know that their territories are defended by their gods. They know. They know that this is a supernatural fight. That was why when you watch the clash between David and Goliath, Goliath says, I will come to you. He said, you come to me with a stone. Am I a dog? He said, I will. Then Goliath said, I will give your bodies to the carcasses of, I mean, I'll give your bodies to the birds of the air. Right? Right? Then David responded. David said, you come to me with swords. Say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Do you see that? Whose armies you've defiled. Do you see that? Amen. Say, I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. Say, whose armies you've defiled. Amen. Do you see that? So it was a clash of gods. What are you following me? A clash of gods. Remember, he will come out. Before David came, he will come out and do what? And he will rain what? Curses on Israel. Did you see that? Amen. Now that curses, he rains on Israel, is what is used for enchantment. So they run back. He's making boast of his gods over Israel. Hope you're hearing me. And then he makes a mockery of Israel. And they will run. But Moses, and but David came and said, I come in the name of the Lord of hosts. Say, whose armies? And he calls him the Lord of hosts. We're not dealing with that this year. The Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. So that means when you call him the Lord of hosts, it therefore means the host of supernatural beings. Hallelujah. He's their Lord. Glory to God. He's the Lord of hosts. Say, whose armies you've defiled? Do you see that? Amen. So what he was doing was defiling the armies of God. Hope you're following that. So it's always a clash of gods. Amen. And the physical God of the nations of the world was their king. So their king was that representation of their gods. So that is why whenever you are able to deal with the king, right? Was able to surmount the king, you've taken over the nation. Hope you're following me. It is a clash of gods. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. A clash of gods. So, you take the people and then they become proselytes. They become Israel by adoption. Right? Right? Glory to God. Glory to God. So, they become Israel, their hearts will be they will be circumcised. Now remember, Moses is saying they will be circumcised, was not writing for them to do physical circumcision, but the circumcision of their what? Their hearts, to believe in God. But the physical circumcision was a sign, right? Was a sign to show what has happened to their heart. Did you see that? So, how would they become Israel? By believing in the God of Israel, right? So what is that show of it? You will be circumcised. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you see that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. So very vital. So that act of dealing with nations is you are taking back land. You are taking back land. You are taking back land. So when you deal with nations, so the gospel, I told you, the gospel. I told us that the gospel is territorial. Hallelujah. It's territorial. You're taking back land. So the land is not just physical land, like you are fighting for a land space in your village. No. Amen. They understood that lands have supernatural forces over them. Right? So what would you do? You would deal. So when there's that warfare, you have taken over the land. That means you've displaced the supernatural force. Hallelujah. Let's see something in Deuteronomy 32. Don't worry. Just like some things we'll look at in convention tomorrow, is just to cover up some things I've said to you in 2 years. I mean, for 3 years. I've said some things to you for 3 years. So I'm going to do some covering up together with what I'm teaching you today. Deuteronomy 32. Are you there? Hallelujah. Look at verse 7. So remember the days. I mean, remember the days of old. Consider, now when it says remember the days of old, is Genesis, right? Right? So remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy fathers, and he will show thee thy elders, and they will tell thee. When the Most High divided the nations, thy inheritance, Now, when you read this, you read in Genesis chapter 11. So when the Most High divided, well, many have said this is Genesis 11. Amen. Amen. Many theologians, many scholars of scriptures, better said, have said, this is referring to Genesis 11. So when the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance, and he separated the sons of Adam, and he set bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. Now, that word children of Israel there is wrong. You know, because we're not referring to the children of Israel then. There was no Israel in Genesis 11. Did you see that? Amen. So that word Israel there is actually the children of God. But, you know, when we get to next year, I'll tell you why. Next year or next 2 years. But I think it should be next year. I just think, but I'm not under pressure. I'll tell you why the translators put Israel there. Amen. But actually, according to the numbers of the children of God. Amen. Now, children of God there is referring to supernatural beings. There are some translations that say, according to the numbers of the angels of God. Did you see that? Amen. So it's referring to supernatural beings. So he said, the Most High, he said, is separated the we separated the sons of Adam and set bounds according to the children, according to the number of the children of God. He said, divided the nations. So he divided the nations and he gave all the nations over to supernatural beings. You see that? Supernatural beings. Hallelujah. Don't worry, I'm not going to territorial demons. I thought that thing, yes, but territorial demons. And now you have to deal with territorial demons. Yeah, we're still dealing with them. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Glory to God. Because you know one thing? Many times, people who are so emphatic about, let's look at doctrine, like, no, let me not use the word doctrine, that theologians, they become too theoretical and they place less emphasis on supernatural things. And it's wrong. Amen. That's why I say you must have the two rich experience. Hallelujah. Rich experience. Hallelujah. Can you see? So the Most High gave nations over to supernatural beings. But we'll get to verse 9. When this happened in Genesis 11, was there Israel? Was there Israel? There was no Israel. Listen. So that means all the nations have been given over to supernatural forces. Right? Then Peter, the root of Israel will be traced to Abraham, right? And also traced to Adam. But let's trace it to Abraham. So how did Abraham, what then happened to Abraham? In Genesis 12, Abraham came out from his father's house. His father's idol. Watch it. Did you see idol? They already had idol, right? Supernatural being. Now, when you get to read for that, you discover that Moses gave them a strong instruction that they should not, I showed it to us last week, that you are not supposed to worship the sun, moon, and the stars. And it's referring to supernatural beings. This is that. So the worship of the sun, moon, and the stars is what you call idol worship. Did you see that? Amen. When there's a worship of supernatural beings, that's idol worship. Now, Abraham came out of his father's house. Watch it. To a land that God will show him. Watch that. Everybody look up here. Now, is Abraham part of, was he? Now, he's coming out from a land. Listen. He's coming out from idol worship to a land. So that means Israel in Abraham was not a nation. Hope you're following me. Israel in Abraham was not a nation. So where did Abraham dwell? In Canaan. Follow me. He dwelt in Canaan. Was Canaan his land? No. Hope you're following me. Canaan. Because they had people that were in Canaan. Hope you're following that. They had people that were in Canaan. Genesis chapter 15. So Canaan wasn't his own. Is it the land I'll show you? So he dwelt in the land of Canaan. Genesis 15. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at verses 18. Now, in chapter 15, Abraham, in verses 6, He believed God, right? That God will walk through his seed, right? Right? Glory to God. God will walk through his seed. His seed will be... So God will walk through his seed. God will use his seed, right? And it was counted for him for righteousness. Hallelujah. Now look at verses 18. It's the same that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham saying, to thy seed. Did you see that? Amen. To thy seed have I given this land. It's not, he's staying in the land of Canaan. He said, I have given this land. Hallelujah. From the river of Egypt to the river of Euphrates, to Kenites and to the Kenzinites and to the Kadmonites and to the Hittites and to the Perizzites and to the Rephlins and to the Amorites and to the Canaanites and to the Gerazites and to the Jebusites. Did you see the same thing? Did you see the same thing? Did you see the same thing? We've been reading the same land. Now he says to him, he is not the owner of the land. He sojourned into the land. Right? Right? Now, stop. Does that land have supernatural beings that have been assigned to it? Did you see that? Did you see that? Is that land part of the land that has been handed over to supernatural beings? He now said, I will give you this land to possess it. Give to your children this land, your seed, this land to possess it. So God goes back again to Egypt, remembers his covenant with Abraham, and he has said to Moses, Israel is my son. You see that? Israel is my son. Israel is my firstborn. You see that? Hear this? So he goes to Egypt. And then he says to Moses, I will bring them out. Right? Right? And I will take them to which land? The same land they promised where Abraham. Remember, I said he is the land, but he will take them there. So in going there, he has told Abraham that they now, they are not going there to sojourn. They are going there to possess it. Did you see that? Did you see that? They are going there to do what? Possess it. You must understand it. They are going there to possess it. So when you hear the word possess, does it include to subdue? Did you see it? Did you see it? You are subduing it. Glory to God. Amen. So does that mean they are going to deal with the supernatural forces? Then yes. Hope you have all heard me. And that was why when they entered the land, the first warning Moses gave to them before they entered the land is that when you get into the land, you must not serve their gods. Did you see that? He warned them. You must not be like them. You must be holy, set apart. Did you see that? Glory to God. Because you are the one who have possessed it. Hope you have all heard me. So that means in possessing it, they are going to displace supernatural beings. Well, I told you, these are not what I'm looking at this year. So in possessing the meaning, they are reclaiming, the first thing they are doing, getting into the land, they are reclaiming the land for the Lord. Is that it? Is that it? Deuteronomy 32. Let me quickly run out of here before I start another exegesis. Amen. Amen. Deuteronomy 32. Look at verse 9. It says, for the Lord's portion is his people. Did you see that? Jacob, the lot of his inheritance. Did you see that? So that means, so every other nation, watch it. Every other nation, I'm going to tell you what this means. God calling Abraham out of idol worship, out of darkness, is what God does in Genesis 1, verse 2 and 3. He calls light out of darkness. Did you see that? Amen. Did you see that? So God will walk with it, what is available. The darkness is available. So he called light out of it. Amen. Hope you're following me. God will walk with what is available. So let's get back to Abraham. So Abraham taking back, or Israel taking back the land, right, is reclaiming it for God, right? Right? So he goes back here, and then he says, he has divided every nation on the earth, or under the heavens, and set them to the, and he divided them according to the numbers of the children of God. Children of God then means angelic beings, right? Supernatural beings, right? But Israel, he called Israel the lot of his inheritance. You see that? As a nation, the lot of his inheritance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You get to verse 10, say, he found him, which is Israel, in a desert land and in a waste howling wilderness. He led him about, he instructed him, he kept him as the apple of his eyes. As an eagle stirred up his nest, fluttered over her young, spreaded abroad her wings, taketh them on her wings. Say, so the Lord did lead him, and there was no strange God with him. Did you see that? There was no darkness with him. Genesis 1:2. Right? Genesis 1:2-3. Read that and then you see what I'm talking about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, Israel reclaiming Canaan. Israel going to Canaan is reclaiming Canaan. Right? Reclaiming the land for the Lord as God's dwelling place. Did you see that? The land becomes God's dwelling place. How? The people, the gathering. Did you see that? He has reclaimed it. So, hope you're following me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So very vital. So when you hear God dwells with them, it's a temple language. I'm back from outside it. Amen. So the temple and the tabernacle was used to point to the reality of God amongst them and in them. The temple was used to point them to reality of God amongst them, that is God with them, and the attacks in the world. Do you see that? Amen. Amen. The attacks in the earth. We're going to deal with that later. But the attacks in the earth. Glory to God. Because God wants to make the whole earth his temple. Hallelujah. So when you see the temple, and you also see where how the temple was founded. The temple was not built. Okay, we're going to look at that. That's Kaduna. That's Kaduna. Okay, that's true. So, but don't worry. I'll share it here on Sunday also. Now, the temple was not built anywhere. The temple is usually built on top of the mountain. Okay, well, lady, the temple was built on the mountain, Mount Moriah. Amen. Why Mount Moriah? Because mountain is used to show it's supernatural, spiritual. Right? And around it, you'll find water. You see, God is reclaiming the territories. So we're going to look at all that in the coming year. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, what God is doing in our world today, he's reclaiming territories. He's reclaiming lands. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And the land will be first the people, the locality. Hallelujah. So that's why I told us last 4 years, I told us be territorial. Hallelujah. Be territorial. Glory to God. And for those of us who were around, who prayed yesterday by 6 p.m., we saw that your pastor led you to pray in a certain way concerning territories, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You have to be territorial. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Because our God is territorial. God amongst them, in them, the reality of God amongst and in them. You know, some people are fighting that hard, but amongst and in them. Amen. Amen. And the attacks in the nations of the world. So very vital, what we're going to stay with. So that means Moses, heaven and earth. Like I said to you, Moses, heaven and earth is temple language, right? Moses, heaven and earth is to show the reality of the supernatural amongst them. The supernatural. So Moses will pitch the temple or the tabernacle. I say, sir, Moses did not do temple, it's tabernacle. Okay, tabernacle. He'll pitch the tabernacle to show the reality of the supernatural amongst them. Remember, the tabernacle is God's tax in the earth, God, the Spirit of God amongst them, right? It's to point to God's Spirit amongst them. So, it's to show them, this is the reality amongst you. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't need to go over this again, but no one ever built God a dwelling place. I said that to us. He himself made himself a dwelling place. He himself made himself a dwelling place. And that dwelling place is he amongst us and in us today. Hallelujah. Amongst us and in us today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's see how I can merge these two things up. Last week we were here. So let's see. Paul. Let's see how Paul will talk about the temple. In Ephesians 2:8. I was there on Sunday, but I spoke about it on Saturday, on Friday, on Thursday. So. Ephesians 2:8. Are you there? Here it is. It says, 18, sorry. It says, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now, therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself, being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, goeth up into an holy temple in the Lord. So, our gathering in Christ is called temple. Our gathering in Christ, that gathering in Christ is called temple. In 1 Corinthians 3:16, he calls our physical gathering temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Our physical gathering is called temple. Hallelujah. 3:16. You know you're not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He's referring to their gathering. He calls it temple, physical gathering. It's called temple. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, he says, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? You see that? Hallelujah. In verse 17, he says, why did he say your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Verse 17 says, but he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. You see that? Is one spirit. Hallelujah. Do you see that? So because we are one spirit, because we are joined to the Lord, he therefore calls us, our bodies is a temple of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Hope you're following that. Hope you're following that. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 6:16, he said, what agreement has the temple of God with idols? The temple of God. He says, for ye are the temple of the living God. And he said, I will dwell in them. I will walk in them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Did he say that? I will dwell in them. And when he says that word, I will dwell in them, it's an Old Testament word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you following me? When he says, I will dwell with them, it's Moses' word in Exodus. I will dwell in them. Glory to God. Hope you're following me. So, he calls the believer the temple of God. He calls our gathering, he calls our gathering in Christ the temple. Our physical gathering, temple. Right? Right? Glory to God. On Sunday, I believe I will go a bit into temple because that's some things on Sunday into talk because those are some things I'll share in Kaduna. Hallelujah. Amen. You get into temple that you see. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. But we'll get to see some things about temple tonight. So, our physical gathering, temple, I told you about gathering in temple, physical gathering there, and we are his temple because we are joined with the Lord. Right? Hallelujah. So, the temple, we're getting close. The temple, when you look at the 39 books, which is the Old Testament books, right? Right? Is where men come to have encounters. Both the 39 books and in the New Testament books, all three scriptures. Remember, when Jesus appeared to them, they were together. Yes, he met some people separately, but what that when he appeared to them, they were together. When they had the Holy Ghost meeting, what we call the Holy Ghost meeting in Acts 2, when they had that experience, they were together. Acts 4, I need you to pay attention to this. Acts 4, they were together. When they were done praying, the place where they were shaking, they were filled with the Holy Ghost. It is that they were together. Hallelujah. Acts 13, they were together. What we are seeing that. Acts 13, they were together. Acts 10, the Holy Ghost fell, they were together. Did you see that? Amen. What those, we'll get there when we begin to look at the tenses. Why did they use those tenses? The Holy Ghost fell. Those are not tenses that they coined. No. Those are tenses that they see in the Old Testament books. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. Amen. So that means if we are the temple of the Holy Ghost, remember I told you in the last teaching we just concluded. Which one was that? Where I said the God of the Old Testament is the same God today. Is that Colossae? Is that Colossae? You see, I mean, not it. Tongues is stay now. It's Colossae. But in Colossae, I said God didn't change form. No, which one did I, what was I teaching to get out of Colossae? Believe in believer. No. No. Nice. Good. I don't know why recent. I said it to us recently now. Our God did not change form. I just, some people think God of the Old Testament is one fiery guy. You know, fire, then in the New Testament, God now got born again. God is now born again. Some people can teach that and say, you know, God, in the Old Testament, God was not born again. Woohoo! Your one chance is history. Amen. I know I've thought aggressively, I want to beg you as your pastor. Aggressively study, listen to messages. You know why? Well, the things I'm saying, I am learning from my pastor. Well, the things I'm saying, some of them you might not have it in all of them in one message. Amen. Look at what I want to say now. I have said it somewhere, but I can't even say it well now. I know I've taught it somewhere. This is, so if you're not reading, if you're not listening to the messages together well, you will be having, you know, when you see a believer that argues, it's because he doesn't know anything. Me, formerly I can argue. I can argue. But I'm knowing the word. I discovered that the more you know the word, the more you're getting to know the word, the more you your argument level is reduced. Amen. I'm telling you this. But you see people that argue. Blah, 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 blah. They don't know anything. I can tell you for free. They have a lot of holes. And you can punch all it. Poop, 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 poop. Amen. Hope you're hearing me. It's just my little experience I've seen. You know, when you are calmer, when you are knowing spiritual, you are calmer. But you know that this thing I want to say now, you have weighed it across scripture. What's the weight of this thing I'm saying? Glory to God. I weigh it across scripture. I told you how that I get before I write, I do a lot of mental processing. Yeah. Now, so we could see that experience. Or looking at, let me just read my notes. Looking at their experience in the gathering and in the temple, we can have similar experience today. Remember the temple, which is both a gathering and a symbol, right? Where they go into, we can look at their experience in their gathering and in the temple, and we would have the same experience today in our gathering and in our lives. Because we are his temple. Much more, I said in my notes, in our garden. In our garden. I'm going to say, why did I put much more? My pastor will say, the greatest manifestation of God's power is usually in the garden. All through scripture, you find that. I just ran through the book of Acts. Right? Amen. Peter had personal experience. They had personal experience. Peter had an experience where he saw forfeited beasts. But you know, that experience cannot be as rich as the experience he had in Acts 2. Did you see that? Amen. You can't compare that experience to Acts 4. You can't compare that experience to Acts 10. Did you see that? So the greatest manifestation of God's power is usually in the gathering. This is that, in the gathering. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God wants us to experience Him every day. The experiences of the Old Testament books didn't end with the Old Testament books. It didn't end. Some people say, look at Elijah and the prophet of Baal. You guys didn't know that is a clash of God. Amen. A clash of God. They came to set whatever with God. Imagine Omoshe trying to compete with Master. Amen. Creator want to compete with Creator. How what happened? And the Bible says the prophet of Baal kept calling on their God to come and eat sacrifice. Except that God is mad. He should come and eat that. Except that God is mad. You know, let me play that scenario for you in our today world. Imagine you want to have your food there. And they now call Michel or Daremo. You come on. I'll come on. I'm not a big guy. You don't want to come and eat your father's meat. You now see hand like this. How is that happen? What's the clash of God? You don't know. You're calling on their God. They're not born and well. He couldn't even take the sacrifice. He wants to die. He can't. Did you not see what happened to those in Genesis chapter 6? Is this smoking something? But when he called to God, what did Elijah do? Yeah, they should pour water. How can fire consume you when they go there? Pour water! And the sacrifice, everything, that was supremacy of God. Hallelujah, over every idol. Glory to God. In Egypt. That's how great our God is. This Old Testament, fast swappy. He's still doing it today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. In Egypt, Aaron put his staff down and he turned to a snake. Those other guys came to and do it. They did the same thing, rather. And what happened to their own snake? It was swallowed up by that of Aram. Supremacy. God is great. Amen. You see, the Bible does not deny the existence of other beings or other gods, but it shows you the power of God over them all. Hallelujah. Hope you're hearing me. Glory to God. So God didn't change. No, it's the same God. Hallelujah. Like I said to you, I said, the emphasis, what has happened? Some people stopped. The emphasis left. And that's why I said, I'm going to put it on the materialistic gospel. The emphasis has left the promise. Hallelujah. But I still know people who do rural rugged. I have a friend that attends that they go into those inner cities. Navigators. They go into these inner cities and they talk about raw power. But I have a pastor friend that was speaking about a place they went to.
And there's this guy, herbalist, that has held that city, that village. Recently, you're in Nigeria. There's no church there. And what did they do? They went first. They laid hands on the person. Hallelujah. What do you think has happened? Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, my pastor will say, there's no idol anywhere. That the idol is in men. I believe that. Idol is in men. Hallelujah. So don't go and see one. They say, is it Kinga? Hey, Kinga. Amadua. Or Shango. Is in men. It's in vessels of men. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You know what has happened? You see somebody that you think is hearing the word. Somebody that you think is hearing the word. He knows the word. Knows my confession of reality. And one day, then I told him that he spread his underwear outside and the king got missing. Started crying. Oh Lord. Anyway, they take him on the road. He's not scared. But I thought you know you're right in Christ. They pack you on their way. Someone say, I went somewhere, right? And I was about leaving. And I said, oh, let me leave my sponge. I have sponge at home. I just got the sponge. So I was done. But people came to beg me. Say, I should carry it. I said, I'm not carrying it. They say, do you know that they can use it? I say, they can use it. I should help them take it there. He said, no. You know, Yoruba say, I said, that's Yoruba say. Amen. Hope you're ready. Amen. I said, let them say. Glory to God. I know who I serve. I don't just know him because of them say. I know him because I have experienced him. And I keep experiencing him. Hallelujah. Amen. Not because someone told me. Because I've seen it in scripture and I've seen it also. Power day. Don't you think when I say power day, you think I'm just talking snap, I'll ginger you. No. Power day. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's get into some things. Okay, my time is almost up, but let's look at something. So, and God wants us to experience him every day. Experience him every day. So you cannot read scriptures and not see men have experiences with the supernatural. You can't read scriptures and say you did not see that men have experiences with the supernatural. What people have been able to do with this Old Testament is gone is to actually cause a dichotomy between their present world from scriptures. They just create that divider. That now it's not looking as if what you have from Genesis down to Malachi is looking like super story. Look at it. It's not looking like super story. It can't happen today. Why? Tell me why. That's if it's gone so that you would not. That is, see that? The Old Testament is gone. You don't know the implication it has done to the doctrines of God in the lives of men. Amen. You don't know the implication. Because if you know the implication, you won't say it. It's subtle. Moses is gone. The Old Testament is gone. You know, you can say it easily. And you think you are teaching word. Amen. Amen. I was chatting with a friend of mine recently. And then she said something. Qui sera, sera. What will be, will be. And I said, no. That's not scripture. So I was showing the person that even for Moses, say Moses is Old Testament. I'm talking about New Testament. I said, no. Moses, if Moses is Old Testament and is gone, then you are gone. Then I said, no, I'm not arguing with you. I'm only telling you a fact. Because even Jesus spoke concerning Moses. Even Jesus said, if you believe Moses, you believe him. So how is Moses gone? Most many times we don't know the implication of that. I still have that chapter today. We don't know the implication of that word. Moses is gone. You create a disconnect between what God has or what God is doing through or what God did in their life with what is in your present situation. Amen. Amen. I've seen believers, Christians, go to meet herbalists. Why? Why? Because you said Moses is gone. So that means the power of God, you are denying God's power that Moses wrote of. You are denying the experiences that they had. So that's why you've not had that experience. So that's what Moses is gone is a subtle deceit. Old Testament is gone is a subtle deceit from the devil. It's a subtle deceit for you to start denying the power of God. You start denying the power of God. God did not change. God is the same. The same, see, the same experiences they had it in the New Testament. The epistles had it. We're going to see that. The epistles had it. They had this wonderfully well. In fact, they had, if you read Acts, if you read 1 Corinthians 14, you discover that what Paul was writing about, when you begin to get to verses 15, 16, 20, 22, 24, 26, you see that they were having similar experiences. Amen. He says, he said to them, I know when you come together and there be one who is unlearned, right? Or is not saved. I'm trying to reduce the word. He says, will you not say you are out of your mind? So that means they were having wild experiences. So you are out of your mind. It was not just small, it was not just brachiocephalus. No. So that means those guys saw something. I'm actually running. Okay. They had wild experiences in their service. Hallelujah. Wild one. And we trust the Lord that we'll have such kind of experiences in our meetings today. I mean, in these days and in the years and years to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's thank the Lord.